Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Chof Dalet, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. So we're in the middle of a sugya. The Mishnah, right in the beginning of the second parak, said, Ein mamid in behemah bepun dekoyah shal oivdei kechavim. A yid is not allowed to take his behemah and place it in the pundik of an oivdei kechavim, the pagans of yesteryear, because they were choshud on Revi'ah. And being that Revi'ah is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei noyach, and a yid has a mitzvah of lifnei iver loisitei michshol, and lifnei iver loisitei michshol applies even to b'nei noyach, it's for that reason there's a halacha that you can't put this stumbling block, the behemah, with the oivdei kechavim. Whereas the kasha from a tesefta, loichem mehem behem lekarbon. You're allowed to buy a behemah from a guy and use it as a carbon. And the tesefta says clearly, ve'ein choishes, and we're not concerned. Loi mishum roideya, v'loi mishum nirvas. The question is, are they choshen on Revi'ah? Are they not choshen on Revi'ah? And we saw three terutz. First terutz that the Gemara said was they're choshen on Revi'ah, but only for somebody else's animal. Their own animal, being that they're worried that they may injure the animal during the Revi'ah, it's for that reason they're not chashid. So if a yid wants to take his animal and place it in the pundik of a goy, that's something he shouldn't do. But at the same time, if you want to buy the goy's animal, you don't have to be concerned that the goy was Revi'ah his animal, because the goy would not have done it because he's chas al mamoyne. Ravina Amar, Ravina said a second teretz, loy kasha holikatchila hadiyat. Likatchila, you should be concerned that the goy is chashid on Revi'ah. And that's the halach in the Mishnah. Stating that, if you want to buy an animal from a goy, it's already bidyevid. You don't have to assume that the goy was roiveya, the animal. And finally, the third teretz of the Gemara, the teretz that the Gemara discusses in greatest detail, Rapodus on Mount Loikasha, Horab Eliezer, Horabon. The background is the Mishnah Mesechtes Paro, discussing the Paro Aduma, where Rabbi Eliezer said that you're not allowed to buy a Paro Aduma from a goy. The reason is, although he didn't say it clearly, but Rapadus understood, is because we're concerned that maybe the guy was Reveya, the animal. And even though the Paro was Kotche Bedeka Bayis, but the Gemara said, still there's a Psul Nirva when it comes to Paro Aduma. So, Rabbi Eliezer is concerned that a guy may be Reveya, an animal. The Chachamim argue, the Chachamim say that it's okay. The Chachamim atirim. So says Rapodis, it would seem to be a machlek, because Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether we're concerned that the guy would be Reveya or we're not concerned that the guy would be Reveya, thus the teretz, the stira between the Mishnah and the Tesefta is Harab Eliezer, Harabana. And then the Gemara discussed a little bit what exactly is Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning Rapodis understood that the basis to Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, that you can't buy a Paro Aduma from a guy, is because Rabbi Eliezer was concerned that Bnei Noach, Oivdei, Avodah Zarah were choshed on Revi'ah. But the Gemara brought another pshat, and that is Toni Sheila. My time at Rabbi Eliezer, it's actually learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk right in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, which discusses the Paro Aduma, says Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Leimor Dabrel Bnei Yisrael VeYikchu Eilecha Paro Aduma. And Sheila darshan a very interesting drasha. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu, b'nei Yisrael yakichu. Only a yid could sell the Paro Aduma. A guy can't sell the Paro Aduma. Meaning, Sheila was suggesting at first glance, although the Gemara is going to tweak it a little bit, but at first glance, Sheila was suggesting that Pshat and Rabbi Eliezer, that you can't buy the Paro Aduma from a guy, actually has nothing to do with Achshash Revi'ah, but rather it's based on Exeris HaKosev, and it's on Sheila's halacha that today's daf picks up. Kufa, Tani Sheila, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, the Chsiv Dabra, B'nei Yisrael, V'yikhu, B'nei Yisrael, Yakichu, V'eino, if they kichav him, Yakichu. Freak the Gemara, El Meyata, if that's the case, there's another pasuk where it says V'yikhu. It's next week's parasha. Dabra, B'nei Yisrael, V'yikhu li truma. Hachanami, should we darshan the same thing? The B'nei Yisrael, Yakichu, V'eino, if they kichav him, Yakichu, that only a yid was allowed to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, but an Oyved Kechavim was not allowed to. It's the same drasha, the same word v'yikl. You're going to tell me, okay, who said not? From Rabbi Damashmo, Shalus, Rabbi Eliezer. They once asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ad heichan kibud avei. What's the extent? How far does a person have to go to honor his father and mother? So we know kibud avei is one of the Ten Commandments. It's very, very chomer. On the one hand, if somebody honors his father and mother properly, the pasuk says, Laman yirichon yumecho. At the same time, if somebody doesn't honor his mother properly, that's the underlying idea of the Ben Sayru Meirer in this week's parasha, Maka of Avimai Moisumas, Mekalal of Avimai Moisumas. Rabbi Yochanan famously said, Ashrei Nishalei Chaman, praises someone that never saw his parents. He was never put in a situation where he can violate the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. So the Talmidim once asked Rabbi Eliezer, how far, what's the extent of mitzvah's Kibbut Aveim? Amar Lehem, so he told him, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you Exhibit A. You know what Exhibit A was? It was a pagan. It was an Oved Avodah Zarah, no less. There was a guy who lived in Ashkelon. The Dama Ben Asina Shema. His name was Dama Ben Asina. Pam Machas Bikshu Mimenu Avonim Le'efei. This Dama Ben Asina was a jeweler. And he had Avonim that the Chachamim needed for the Efeid. They offered him Shishim Ribo Yischar. A ridiculous amount of money. Rav Kahana Masni B'Shmoinim Riboy. The problem was that the jewel was locked in a storage house, and Rav Kahana's father, Dama Ben Asina's father, was sleeping on top of the keys to get into that room. It was under the mattress. And Dama Ben Asina refused to wake up his father. What do you see from here? You see from here that it's okay to buy jewels that are going to be used for the choshen from a guy. It says, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yikchu li truma. See, you don't darshin b'nei Yisrael yakichu. So if you don't darshin it when it comes to buying jewels, for example, then why do you darshin as it relates to... So it's a kash on Shayla. Shayla wants to say a chiddish, the pshat in Rebbe Eliezer that holds, that you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy, because it says B'nai Yisrael V'yikhu, you can only buy from a yid. If that's the case, it should extend itself to the pasuk of a yikhu li truma. It's two different psukim. One is in parashas chukas, one's in parashas truma, but it's the same words. So l'chura, how could you darshan it in parashas chukas and not darshan it in parashas truma? So the Gemara says a teretz avnei shoyam hifsik ha'inyan. If you go through the psukim, the beginning of parashas truma, so v'yikhu li truma, and then the pasuk this describes different types of things that the Yidden were told to collect towards the Melechas HaMishkan. And then it says, Avnei Shoyam, Ve'avnei Meluun, Lo'efoid V'lachoshin. Avnei Shoyam is a hefsek. The reason it's a hefsek is because really it should have said, Ve'avnei Shoyam. The Vav HaMechaber, if it's connecting it to what it says previously. Being that it says Avnei Shoyam, it doesn't say Ve'avnei Shoyam, that's a hefsek, meaning it's not going back on V'yikhu Li Truma. If it's not going back on V'yikhu Li Truma, you don't have the halacha. Really, there is a drash of V'yikhu Li Truma. Dabra B'nei Yisrael, Yakichu. But being that Avnei Shoyam, Hifsuka Inyan, that's why it doesn't relate specifically to this. But the Gemara says, V'avnei Meluim Ksiv, Dahodar Arve, it says Avnei Shoyam, and then it says V'avnei Meluim. And the Gemara's assumption is that the V'avnei Meluim is going back not just on Avnei Shoyam, it's going back on everything that I mentioned earlier, all the way back to V'yikhuli Truma. So really, Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Meluim do connect to V'yikhuli Truma. So the Teretz falls short for Oid, and not just that. K'tani Seifo, we all know the rest of the story of Dama Ben Asina, L'shana Acheres, the following year, after Dama Ben Asina walked away from a tremendous prophet, not to disturb his father. That was the exhibit Rabbi Eliezer used to show Ad Heichon Kibbut Aveim. Hashem rewarded him. Kibbut Aveim is a mitzvah saseshim matan schar betzida, and he got the matan schar betzida. What happened? No delay para aduma. The following year, a para aduma was born in his eder. The nichtesu chachmi sol etzlay. The chachmi sol came to him, and they offered him a lot of money. Amar lehem, so Dama Ben Asina told him, Yedei ani b'chem, shemani b'vakish mekem komom and shabayil matan noislami. I know how badly the Jews want a paraduma, and I can offer you, I can request some ridiculous amount of money, and you're going to give it to me. Achshav, however, eni mevakish mekem alo oisim momim shev sadeti b'shvalava. What I want is, I want you to make me whole on that money that I lost out last year. But what do you see from here? You see that even a paraduma, even a paraduma, you could buy. Now, the Gemara is asking Akasha on Shela. Now, at first glance, it's not just Akasha on Shela. At first glance, it's Akasha on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, you're not allowed to buy a paraduma from a guy. So, ever gevaldig Akasha? How could the Chachamim have even attempted to buy the paraduma from Dama Ben Asina? L'chu, you're not allowed to buy the paraduma from a guy. That's not the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's not asking Akasha on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Just for pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is asking Akasha on Shela. Shela, who explained Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, that it's learned out from a pasuk, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu, b'nei Yisrael yakichu. How could you, Shela, say there's a gzeiras hakosov? There's a drasha that teaches me in Aladabai the paraduma from a guy. How do you reconcile that with the maisa of Dama Ben Asina? As if to say, again in pshat, that without Shela, there's no kasha. L'chur, the kasha is a kasha, even without Shela. Rabbi Eliezer's sheet at the end of the day is very clear. It's a Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer holds you can't buy a par aduma from a guy. Shtelzach the shayla. How do you understand Dama Menasina? The teretz is very simple. If Pshan and Rabbi Eliezer is that we're chayish to reveal, so you could always say that the story with Dama Menasina was b'kehai gavna, where we knew for sure that nobody was ever revei of this animal. So if we knew for sure nobody was ever revei of this animal, that's why there was no issue buying the par aduma from Dama Menasina. But according to shayla, it has nothing to do with chash reveal. According to shayla, it's exeris hakasav. It's exeris hakasav. How do you understand the story? And the Gemara says, Hasav, the Teretz is, Al Yedei Tagrei Yisrael Zafim. There were a few middlemen, there were a few brokers that were collecting fees, and the way this deal went down was not that Dama Ben Asina sold it directly to this group of Chachamim that came to him. They sold it to someone who took a little profit, sold it to somebody else who skimmed a little bit more off of it. The bottom line is, there were Jewish middlemen that were meddling in this transaction, so it comes out that it was never sold B'toiras para aduma directly to the Chachamim. He sold it to a Yid with the intent of reselling it. So when the end user bought it, the Chachamim bought it to use it as a para aduma, they weren't buying it from a guy. They weren't buying it from David Ben Asino. They were actually buying it from a Yid. They were buying it from a Yid. Then mainly you don't have this issue. But the Gemara asks another kashan Shayla. Again, Shayla said, Pshan and Rabbi Eliezer is, Dabrel b'nei Yisro v'yikhu, b'nei Yisro yikhu v'eino yivdekichav, which was a chiddish because the other understanding that the Gemara had, Rapodos, was that Pshat and Rabbi Eliezer is not Xeris HaKasav, but rather it's based on a Chashash Revia. As if to say that according to Sheva, there's no Chashash Revia by Oivdei Kechavim, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says that can't be. Because Rabbi Eliezer, Loichayesh L'Revia, but time you learned to the Brai, so Amulei to Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim told Rabbi Eliezer, Maisa, there was a story, V'lokchua min Oivdei Kechavim, there was a story with a Yidden board, a par aduma from a guy. And who was the guy? His name was Dama. Some say Ramatz Shemai. His name was really Ramatz. Either way, so the Chachamim themselves in this Braisa asked Rabbi Eliezer from Dama Ben Asina. Rabbi Eliezer told him, Misham Raya, you're bringing me a Raya, asking Kashas from Dama Ben Asina or Ramatz Ben Asina? Don't bring Rayas from there. Yisrael, how you Misham Raya, Misham Shinalda. There were Yidden that watched this par aduma from the moment that it was born. And they knew for sure that nobody was ever reveyed. But what do you see from here? What you see from here is that Pshan and Rabbi Eliezer is related to a Chashash Revia. Rabbi Eliezer himself said that the reason that it was okay for the Yidden to buy the animal from Dama Ben Asina, Vamrila Ramat Ben Asina, is because they knew for sure that nobody was ever reveyed this animal. So this would seem to be a KO. This is checkmate on Shayla. How could Shayla say Pshan and Rabbi Eliezer is Xeris HaKasav? Nothing to do with a Chashash Revia. It's a Mefurish HaBraisa that Rabbi Eliezer is discussing. Yeah, Revia, no Revia. So the Gemara says, you have to say, according to Shayla, Rabbi Eliezer Tartiyasli. The Rabbi Eliezer really holds both of things. Kicha v'chayesh nami l'Revia. Shayla wasn't coming to exclude. He was just coming to add. Meaning, that's true. Even Shayla's going to agree to what Rav Pata said in Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Eliezer that holds you can't buy a par aduma for a guy, it's because goyim achshu demala Revia. And being that the chashan on Revia and the para aduma can't be a nirva, it's for that reason you cannot buy a para aduma from a guy. Shayla was being mechadish, and in addition to Rabbi Eliezer's issue with the chashash Revia, there's another issue. There's also Xeris HaKasav. L'may nafkamina, you have to address both issues. You have to address Revia, like Rabbi Eliezer said in the case of Dama Ben Asina, Ramri Lo, Ramat Ben Asina. They addressed it. They were actually watching this animal from the moment that it was born. Additionally, you have to address the fact that you're not allowed to buy it directly from a guy based on Xeris HaKasav. How do you address that? The Jewish brokers. We addressed that already. But the point is, Shayla wasn't coming to say, we're not worried about Revia. Instead, it's Xeris HaKasav. He was just coming to be Moisif. He was just coming to add. Amar ma, Yisrael hayu meshamrin oisa b'shoshe nolda. So in the Braisa, the Chachamim themselves asked the Kash Rabbi Eliezer. Again, just to be clear on one thing. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is, you could not buy a par aduma from a guy. Tell this to your kids at the Shabbos table Friday night, and someone's going to ask you this kasha. Really? You can't buy a par aduma from a guy? Dama Ben Asina, everybody knows the story. He was a guy. He had tremendous kibud of aim for his father. He walked away from a lucrative business deal because he didn't want to dishonor his father. And the next year, Hashem rewarded him. How do you reward him? He had a par aduma. So you see that you can buy a par aduma from a guy. It seems to be clear. In the Braisa, the Chachamim asked this kasha to Rabbi Eliezer. So that kasha that your son will probably ask you was the Rabbanon's kasha. That's what the Chacham Rulem, Chacham Rabbi Eliezer. What's the Teretz? The Teretz is you have to say two things according to Shayla. one thing according to Rapotis. You have to say, number one, maybe don't tell this to your kids, that the reason you can't buy, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a para from a guy is because we're concerned that the guy was reveya, the animal. And as a result, in this case, they knew for sure that this animal wasn't a nirva, thus there was no issue. Additionally, according to Sheila, who holds that there's a gzeiras hakasav that you can't buy a para adumah from a guy, dad Rabbi Yisrael v'yikhu, you'd have to say that there were some Jewish middlemen and there were brokers that were collecting fees. As a result, the transaction never went from Dabba ben Asina straight to the end user. Now you know the rest of the story, but the bottom line is that is the teretz. Again, so the Gemara is going to analyze this price a little bit. Rabbi Eliezer said that the Yidim, when they were watching this, they had an eye on this para from the moment that it was born. Freight the Gemara, what? To make sure that nobody was reveyed. But the Nechesh Duma Rabbi Le'ima, Gavim Ma'abra, maybe somebody, a guy, again, the Chashan on Revia, so maybe a guy in Oivet Avodah Zarah, a pagan, was Reveya, the Para Aduma's mother, the animal. The Para Aduma's mother. The Amar Rava said, Vlad Hanoi Gachas Aser. The Vlad of an animal that shtoises is Aser. Not just the animal that shtoises, he Uvlad, the Vlad as well. Vlad, and the reason is because we assume that it and its Vlad Nakhu. Vlad Hanirva'as Aser, he Uvlada Nirvu. So if somebody is Reveya, an animal that's pregnant, the animal itself gets a din of a nerva, that's obvious. The Vlad, the fetus, also gets a din of a nerva because we assume that it was complicit in the revia. You have to say that not only were they watching the child, but they were already watching the mother. But the Gemara says, if you're going to watch the mother, you can't, it's not enough that you watch the mother from the time that it conceived. You would have to watch the mother from when it was born. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Kolab, Sun Lagami Mizbeach, Vladoiseyem Mutarin, Vitani Allah. And we learned, Rabbi Eliezer Iser. So Rabbi Eliezer says that anything that's possible, its Vlad is also possible. Meaning, the first halacha we said was that if somebody would be Reveya, an animal that's pregnant. So the assumption is that the animal and the Vlad that's inside the animal were both complicit, they both participated in this revia. As a result, they both have a din of a nirva. But the Chachamim say even Rabbi Eliezer say even a bigger chiddush. Rabbi Eliezer said that even if somebody would be reveya, an animal, and then afterwards, not while it was pregnant, afterwards the animal would give birth to a baby, still that baby would be possible. The reason is because the vlad of a behema that's possible is possible. Now that's already machloikas. The Chachamim say, kol apsun l'gabi mizbeach vladoi seyem mutarin. But Rabbi Eliezer, he is the Tana of our sugya, he says it's aser in that case as well. So l'chura, it wasn't enough that they watched the para aduma's mother from the time that they suspected maybe it could have conceived. You would have had to have watched it from when it was born. Because the moment the mother was born, at that point already, if it would be a nirva, it would be pasul, which means its vlad would be pasul as well. So the Gemara says it's already tali in some kachin. Ha nichal rava. This is all good according to rava. Amar rava, amar rav nachem machloek, gizashin rava b'shem yukdashin. Avu kishen chulun dira kol mutarin. Even Rabbi Eliezer that said this big chiddush. He said this chiddush that if an animal is possible, let's say an animal is a nirva, it wasn't pregnant at the time, and then later it conceives and has a baby. The halacha is that that baby is going to be possible. That's all true if the revia that made the animal possible happened while it was hektish. But if it happened when it was chulin, then there's no issue. If that's the case, there's no kasha. Because over here, this animal was never a real hektish. The mother, the para aduma, wasn't hektish. It was chulin. What happened was, a para aduma was born, Chum got excited, they went and they went to buy the para aduma. But the mother wasn't hektish. So what happened to the mother isn't going to concern me. Who said machloik is kishinirvu kishen chulin? No, the machloik is Chacham ben Abelias is when the revia happened before it became hektish. To the contrary, once it's hektish, everybody holds its aser. What are you going to say? Meaning, it's not enough that they watched the para aduma. It's not enough that they watched the mother from the time that it conceived. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who again is the Tana of the sugya, you would have had to watch the mother from the moment the mother was born. What's the Gemara's teretz? It's exactly what happened. But the Gemara says, "Venechesh duma ravua le'ima de'ima." Should you have to be worried that maybe even the grandmother of the para aduma was a nirva? Which means that it's Vlad and it's Vlad. I mean, how far does Shitas Rabbi Eliezer go? Rabbi Eliezer says, the Vlad of a pasul is pasul. What about the einikel and the ear einikelach? So the Gemara says, no, kulei ha'ilei chashjina. That much already, we're not going to be concerned. But the Gemara asks the obvious question, what everybody's thinking. Omer ma, Yisrael ha'yim ha'shamer no'yisim, yishoshin no'yisim, yinoyadina. How did Chama know to watch? So punk, they went to Dabba ben Asina, they went to his farm, and they knew that we're going to keep a close eye. on these animals to make sure that they don't do anything? Like, why do they know to do that? Amar Rav Kahana said, Kois Edoim Mavirin Lefanel Bishasha Oilo Lezachar. Now you know the rest of the story. There was a way, a skula, that one was able to do in order to have a paraduma. What they would do is when the two animals would mate, so they would take a cup of something red inside. I guess the animal would see the red, and that would somehow cause its offspring to come out red. So he's talking to Gemari. So they knew already that there was a good chance that a paraduma was going to come from this zivug, and as a result, they kept a close eye on it. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi, oy bazaya, my domeo yakrin. Why was it so expensive? It's so easy to have a paraduma. Why doesn't seem like such a big deal?" The Gemara says, "Hayu v'shtei Cyrus places law. The red wasn't the hard part, but there's a lot of technical details that you have to meet in order to have a kosher paraduma. That's where the issue. People used to trip up with the shtei Cyrus. Right? If you have two Cyrus in one place, it's already going to be possible." But the Gemara says, "Maishno didu." It sounds like they were only watching Dama ben Asinas. It doesn't sound like they were watching other people's. Rav Kahana ben Muchzekes. Apparently, Dama ben Asina, his animals, he already had this siyata d'shmaya that the kois edoim worked perfectly for his animals. So, right the behemes that he had no issues with. The issue was the shtei Cyrus. They used to watch it to make sure. Either way, a little bit of the rest of the story as it relates to Dama ben Asina. A little bit more Gemara. Yes, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafka. I killed Rav Yitzchak Nafka. So Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafka, they were sitting by Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Pasach ad minayu v'amar. So one of them got up and he said the following. He said the pasach said, Mayos, v'chein hoyo Rav Eliezer, poysel b'chol akrabonis. Meaning, Rav Eliezer, who said this halacha that you can't buy the paraduma from a guy? He didn't only say it regarding the paraduma, but he said it regarding all karbanos. I mean, you can't buy an animal from a guy and then later use it as a carbon. Pasach idach minayu v'amar. The other one, I mean, it was Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafka. They were both commenting. They're learning this sugya that we're learning right now. This idea of buying a behemoth from a guy and using it for some form of hekdesh. So the first tana said that Rabbi Eliezer said his halacha not just by paraduma, he said his halacha by all karbanos. The other one said, the comment I have is, you know what the chachamim tainted to Rabbi Eliezer when they asked on Rabbi Eliezer? They told him, they quoted a pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk over there says that all the tzoyin kedar are going to gather, they're going to be karbanos. He said, you could take karbanos from a guy. Amalim Rabbi Eliezer commented back, he told him, kulim gerim grurim heim lasalavai, that it's true that this pasuk seems to suggest that the Yidden are going to take animals from the goyim, they're going to bring it as karbanos. But the pasuk is talking about lasa lavoi, and lasa lavoi, the goyim are going to be megay. Amar Rav Yosef Maikra, what do you see anywhere in a pasuk that the goyim are going to be megay? He said it's a pasuk in Tzfanya Peregimel. Ki oz epoichel amim sofa berura. The language of the goyim are going to flip lasa lavoi, the chulu, likroi kulam b'shem Hashem. Maybe it just means that they're going to all serve Hashem, that they're not going to be Oved Avodah Zarah anymore. But how do you know that they're Gerim Gerurim? It says, Shchem Echad, they're going to be literally one with the Yid. What's going on here? So, number one, this Gemara is a reference to the first Sugya Masechtas Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says, Lasa Lovi, the Goyim are going to come, and they're going to want to get Schar for the Torah that they didn't learn, and Hashem is going to give them another chance, and they're going to be Megayer, and the Mitzvah of Sukkah, and it's going to be very hot, and they're going to be bite in the sukkah, right? That's the story that the Gemara discussed in that Beis and Daf Gimel of Avodah Zarah. So you see already, there's this idea that La'asa Lavoi, Kulam Gerim Gerurim Heim, the Goyim on some level are going to be Megayer. Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Eliezer Tainit, that even though at the end of the day, their Gerus won't be accepted, and even though Hashem is going to laugh, the Gemara says, even though Hashem is going to laugh, but at the end of the day, on some level, they will do tshuva. And being that they're going to do tshuva, here's the punchline, they're not going to be chashin on Revi anymore. If they're not going to be chashin on Revi anymore, it's for that reason you're going to be able to use their animals. Meaning, ordinarily, you would not be able to use their animals. But being that they're going to, on some level, do some form of tshuva, so they're not chashin on Revi, to the extent they're not chashin on Revi, at that point, you don't have to worry anymore. Rav Papa had the girsa of this Gemara that we just discussed. The Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafka were sitting together, each one commented on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. The first comment was Rabbi Eliezer didn't only say as a lachah by Par Adumi, he said it as Shaar Korbanos as well. The second comment was that the Chachamim tainted to Rabbi Eliezer from Yeshaya Perek Samach, and Rabbi Eliezer responded from Tzvanya Perek Gimel. Razvid Mas Nahach. Rabbi Eliezer had a little bit of a different girsa. Travayu Amri, that both Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha said together in unison that v'chein hoy Rav Leza poisel b'chol ha-korbonos v'travayu Amri, and they both said umay yosivu lechavroi Rav Leza. What did the Chachamim tainted to Rav Eliezer? They quoted this pasuk, called Tzoyim Keder, Yukav Tzulach, Omer Rav Eliezer. Rav Eliezer responded, Kulam Greim Gruim Lazalov. My Kara? Where did he know that from? This same pasuk. He oz epay chal amim sofer brura, likrei kulam b'shem Hashem. Maskeh for Rav Yosef, v'dum me'avay yitzke, chavim u'da adribu. Maybe they're only going to be chayzim v'avay dezor. Amalei abayu, love dishchem nechut. It's the same exact gemar. Just the difference between Rav Papa's version of the story and Rav Zvid's version of the story was, did Rav Ami say one thing and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha say the other thing, or did Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha both say both things? Either way, what we took out of this braisa was that Rabbi Eliezer didn't only say his halacha regarding Par Aduma, but rather Rabbi Eliezer said his halacha regarding all karbanis. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could buy an animal from a guy and use it for the Par Aduma. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could buy an animal from a guy and use it for Shaar Korbanos as well. Freak the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to ask now from a whole bunch of different psukim and achmesvei vayoyim Moshe gam ato titein biyodenu zvachim va'olav. Moshe requests from Paro to take animals. Let's go bring it in the midbar. We're going to go for 3 days and we're going to bring it as Korbanos. How can you take Paro's animals? Luchura. You're not allowed to take an animal from a goy and bring it as a carbon. It's a kash from Rabbi Eliezer. It's a ride to the Chacham. So the Gemara kaid the Matan Torah shani. It was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, what was different? There was no halacha that a nirva is pasul lahakrava. As a result, there was no issue. Tashma, bayikach Yisroi, chaysin Moshe, oilos vachim lelekim. So Yisroi brings oilos and zvachim, and he offering up as karbonos. What's the kasha? He let it take from Yisroi. I mean, once it was Megayer, maybe it's another story, but it sounds like he's bringing his animals. How were you allowed to take Yisroi's animals, the animals that he brought with him from Midian? So the Gemara says, Yisroi nami kai de matan Torah hava. Yisroi also came before Matan Torah, right? When does Yisroi come? In the beginning of Parashas Yisroi. When is Matan Torah? In the middle of Parashas Yisroi. But the Gemara says, "Oh, nichol mandam Yisroi Matan Torah hava." That's all good according to mandam. That says that the psukim in Parashas Yisroi are in order. Elo the manda amar ein muktem umeucher b'Torah that Yisroi la'achem Matan Torah hava. Yisroi really came la'achem Matan Torah. Ma'ikol meimar. How are you gonna explain that? How were the Yidden allowed to take Yisroi's karbanos? So the Gemara says you have to say Yisroi miYisrael zavlan. Yisroi wasn't taking his own animals, but rather Yisroi bought animals from a Yid, and those were the animals that he gave. But his own animals would have been a problem. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to buy animals from a guy. Toshma Shmuel Aleph Perik Tezvav. Vayoyim Shol Me'amaleki Heviyah Mashachom Alam Almeitav Atzoyim VaBak. Leman Zvayach LaShem Alekech. So we all know the story. Certainly, if you learned Yuma Daf Chavbeis, but we all know the story of Shol. Shol was instructed to kill Agag, who was the king of Amalek at the time. He was supposed to wipe out Amalek. That's the mitzvah. Timcha Zecher Amalek. And Shaul ended up having Rachmanis on Agag and on the behemoths. And when Shmuel sees that Shaul's coming with the behemoths, so Shmuel says, why are you bringing the behemoths with you? So Shaul says, I decided, why kill the behemoths? Let's take these animals, the animals that he took from Amalek, and let's offer them up as karbonos. Let's shech these animals. Fake the Gemara. It's a pella. How does Rabbi Eliezer learn this pasuk? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to use animals from a goy as a carbon. So how do you understand the pasuk of Laman Zvayach LaShem Alekecha? So the Gemara says that my metav d'mei metav. It doesn't mean that he actually took the animals. It means he sold the animals, got money, and took the money and bought new animals to go bring his karbanos. But not that he actually took the animals that he took from Amalek and he offered them up as karbanos. So the Gemara says, my shlam metav, because what did Shaul say? Shaul said, "Vayoyim Shaul me'amaleki avim ashacham alam al meitav hatzoy." Sounds like he was taking the best and the shiniest and the brightest. Why was he taking the best? Bishleim, if the animals themselves were going to be karbanos, so it makes sense. He wanted the meitav to be used as a carbon. But if he wasn't using it as a carbon, he was going to sell it and take the money. He says, anyways, not the animal he's going to use. So why was he medaktek in taking meitav? So this is Bava Kama 101. Gehecha the likbetz ala azvina. Because he wanted to take something that's oivel asoicher, something that he'd be easily able to sell, take that money, and go ahead and use it. Toshma, vayoymer aravna el David. Yikach V'yal adoni hamelech hatoiv be'enav, re'e habakar lo'oyla, v'hamayrigin u'klei habakar le'etzim. The context over there is David HaMelech counted Klal Yisrael. He wasn't supposed to count Klal Yisrael. He counted them, there was a magefa, and a lot of Yidden died. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Yidden died. And David HaMelech needed to stop the magefa somehow. So Nasan HaNavi comes, and he gives him, or his God HaChayza comes, and he tells him, this is what Hashem wants you to do. Hashem wants you to go to the Goyrin of Aravna Hayavusi. See, he was a Gentile. Aravna was his name. And go to his property, erect a mizbeach, bring karbanos, and if you do that, the magefa is going to stop. So David approaches Aravna, makes him an offer. Aravna says, David, v'yal adoni hamelech hatoy beinav. I'm not taking any money from you. You want, you can come, you can take my Goyrin. By the way, the Goyrin of Aravna Hayavusi would later become the Haram Iriya. So he says, you can come, that's where the Beis HaMikdash was built. So he said, you want, you can take it, and not just that, take animals, bring it as karbanos. And it's mashma that David HaMelech actually brought them as karbanos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not allowed to take an animal from a guy and bring it as a carbon. Amar Rav Nachman, Aravna ger toishav haya. Aravna was a ger toishav. Meaning, he kept the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Revia is one of the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. The whole issue, according to Rabbi Eliezer, going back to Rav Podos, is because B'nei Noach achashen on Revia. This Ben Noach, Aravna, wasn't chashen on Revia because he was a ger toishav. Thus, there was no issue. So the Pasuk said that Aravna told David, Yikach v'yal adoni ha-melech, take whatever you want. Take bakar, you can bring it as karbonos, and take moirigin and clay bakar le'etzen. My moirigin, amarula mita shel turbil. Okay, that doesn't help us. My mita shel turbil, iza de kurkisa de daishan. So this was a board that had sharp edges on the bottom, like teeth, and they used to use it for threshing. Bottom line is, that was what he offered him. Amar Rav Yosef, my crow, where do you see that? That's what the moirigin is. Hine samtich, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Has been the moirag charutz chadosh bal pipiyos tadush harim v'sadek ugvayis kamoitz tasim. So you see that the moirag, that's moirigin, is bal pipiyos. It has like these sharp edges, and it's tadush harim v'sadek. It's used for disha. It's used for threshing. Meisve, another kasha from Shmuel Aleph Perek Vav v'saporis helu oilu l'Hashem. The context over there is the Plishtim had conquered. They had captured the Arim, so they had won a battle against the Yidden, and they took the Arim back with them. And from the time they took the Arim, they were having a lot of tsaras. And they realized this was a very bad idea. So they wanted to send the Arim back to the Yidden. So what they did was they put it on these two cows, and they told the cows, go. And they were in their mind thinking that if Hashem is going to perform a miracle and the cows are going to go by themselves together with the Arim, that's going to be a sign from heaven that the tsaras came because they had captured the Arim, you know, by Hashem performing this miracle, and they're doing the right thing by sending it back. Either way, the paris walk by themselves and they bring the Arim back to the Yidden. The Yidden get the paris, and the Yidden took the two paris and helu oilel Hashem. They brought it as an oil. What's the kasha according to Eliezer? You're not allowed to use a guy's animal as a carbon. And for the Gemara, hayrasha hoysa. You have to say it was a hayrasha. Hachi nami mestabra, dilo itema hachi. If you're not going to say that oil in a keva miyiko, can an oil ever be in a keva? A chatas is in a keva. A oil always had to be a zachar. So that was parois. Parois are nekevois, and still the pasuk says they brought it as what type of carbon? As an oila. So you see it was a rasha. You see that this wasn't following the ordinary guidelines of kachim. Because if it was a regular kachim, how can you have an oila that it's in a keva? So just like the fact that you have an oila's nekeva was a rasha, the fact that they took a guy's animal, that's going to be a rasha as well. But the Gemara says, my kushya, I don't think you have a raya from the fact that it was in a keva. Dilma b'bamas yachid. Maybe they brought it on a bamas yachid. How do you know that an oil is a keva to be brought on a bamas yachid? It's a pasuk. Vayikach shmut lei cholov echad vayaleu oila. Meaning, you see that you can bring an oila even as in a keva if you're bringing it on a bamas yachid. So, once upon a time, there were bamas. What were bamas? So, before there was a Beis HaMikdash, you can have your own personal little bama. It's almost like a mezbeach, and you could bring karbanos there if you want. You could be makdisha, you could bring karbanos. Once there was a Beis HaMikdash, if somebody would bring a carbon on a bama, he'd be over the ish, shchut echot, salah echot, karis, it's very bad. But when there was no Beis HaMikdash, it was something that you were allowed to do. Now, there were two types of bamas. There was a bamas Yochanan and a bamas Sibur. The bamas Sibur was in the Mishkan. So there was always a Mishkan, Shiloh, Noiv, Tehat, right? Without going into all the... But there was always a bama. So the bamas Sibur, that was the bama where, the communal bama, where people used to come and there were Kehanim worshipping over there. But there was also an idea of a bamas Yochanan. You can have that in your backyard. So you have your backyard, and you put up a carbon, and that's something that you were allowed to do. On a bamas yochid, tainas the Gemara, you can have an oila even if it's in a cave. And the raya is from that pasuk with Shmuel. But the Gemara says, I don't even know what you see with that pasuk from Shmuel. Because the pasuk says, Vayikach Shmuel tlei chol of echad, vayaleu oila, and vayaleu zachar mashma. It sounds like it was a zachar. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, you have to look at the ksiv. Vayaleha ksiv. One more Gemara. So going back to the original Kasha, the first Kasha in the beginning of the parak. The Mishnah had said that you can't trust Goyim with behemoths. Why? Because they're choshen on Revi'ah. The Gemara asked the Kasha from a Braisa. The Braisa said you could buy behemoths from a Goy, and you don't have to be worried about Revi'ah. What did the Gemara say? What was the first teretz of the Gemara? The first teretz of the Gemara was that they're choshen on Revi'ah for somebody else's animal. They're not choshen on Revi'ah when it comes to their own animal. Rabbi Yochanan is going to give a similar teretz. When we say that a guy is not choshen on revia, when it's his own animal, that's only if the animal is less than 3 years old. If it's less than 3 years old, he's not going to touch the animal because then it can be injured. But once it turns three already, at that point, it's not going to be injured during the revia. At that point, he's already going to be a choshen. And that was how Rabbi Yochanan reconciled. You have a kasha between a Mishnah and a Tesefta. They are choshen on revia, they're not choshen on revia. You could say that both are talking about with the goy's own animals even. And the point is they're choshed on revia, somebody else's animal. They're choshed on revia in their own animal if it's more than 3 years old. The only time they're not choshed on revia is if it's their own animal and it's less than 3 years old. So Rabbi Yochanan said this. Everyone asked all these kashas. How could you tell me a guy is choshed on revia? If a guy is choshed on revia, a nervous puzzle to bring us a carbon, how are you going to explain all the psukim, all these parashias and nach that seem to suggest that you could take a guy's animal and bring it as a carbon? Shani luhu, p'chusim ibash al ishanim. We have a new teretz. Rabbi Yochanan had a very simple teretz to all those kashas. It was a one size fits all answer. He told him they're all talking about all those animals were less than 3 years old. But the Gemara says it works for every kasha except for one. Tashma v'saporis helu oilul Hashem. The paris that the Philistines, that the Plishtim had sent with the aroi, that Yidden took that and they brought it as an oilah. Kasha is, the animals were the Plishtims. What's the teretz? You're going to tell me they were less than 3 years old. But the Gemara says, you can't say that. Could you say, if you look at the Pasuk, listen to the Pasuk in entirety. So these paros were nursing babies, and they left the babies behind. That means they had babies. Now, what's the kasha? If they were less than 3 years old, could they have babies? But now we learned in the Mishnah, a paro gave birth to a baby. And we're not sure, is it a bechor or is it not a bechor? Do you have to give it to a kohen? Do you not have to give it to a kohen? If the paro is exactly 3 years old, it's vadei abachar. There's no tzad that it had a baby when it was less than three, because a para can't have a baby when it's less than 3 years old. So vadei lekoyin mikan ve'elach. If it's older than three, then it's already a safik. What do you see from here? That it's not possible for a para that's less than 3 years old to give birth to a baby. Now these parois had little babies. So if they had little babies, they couldn't have been less than 3 years old. They had to have been at least three. If they were at least three, then you can't tell me that the reason you're allowed to use it is because they're not choshen on revia, because p'chusim b'ashol yishonim, they're nekeres, they may get injured, thus nobody's giving me an animal. There's no way they were less than 3 years old. El machfartik, the Shana Meikara says the Gemara, you have to say, you're right, excellent taina, you have to say that we're talking about where they were already, that it was a rasha, being that it was a rasha, that's where you were allowed to use those animals with that story of the plishtim exhale. So a few ha'aras regarding the Gemaras that we just learned. Number one, so the daf started with Dama ben Asina, right? The daf started with Dama ben Asina, and it was in the context of Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. As it says, he's not allowed to buy a behemer from a goy for paraduma, because goyim achoshed on revia. I mean, that the achoshed on revia, we're concerned that maybe this behemer was sodomized. As a result, it would now be possible. You wouldn't be able to use it as a paraduma. What was the kasha? Dama ben Asina. And the Gemara told the story of Dama ben Asina, both parts of it. What happened the first year, and then What happened? The first year they were coming to buy a Jew for one of the... They needed an Evan for the Ephod. Dama Ben Asina had it. They offered him a lot of money, but they needed it immediately. He didn't want to wake up his father, and as a result, he ended up losing this deal. The next year, he ends up getting a Parah Aduma. So, a few things. Number one, the Yerushalmi says that which stone were the Yidden looking to buy? They were missing one stone. Dama Ben Asina had that stone. Which stone was it that they were missing? So Yerushalmi says it was the stone of Yashve. Now, we know that on the Chayshin, there were 12 stones. Each stone corresponded to one of the Shvatim. The stone that they were missing was Yashve. Do you know what Shevet Yashve corresponded to? Shevet Binyamin. Says Rameir Simcha in a classic Meshach Chachma. He says, why did the Hashkacha fear that the stone that they should be looking for, that Dama Ben Asina should have, was Yashve, which was Binyamin's stone? He said, because this story was going to be the exhibit L'dayros of Ad Heichan Kibud Avein. This was going to be the lesson that Yid wants to know. How far does he have to go to be mechabed his father and his mother? Let's learn from Dama Ben Asina. He says, the only one of the Shvatim that was 100% pure in the Inyan of Kibud Avein was Binyamin. The 10 Shvatim that sold Yosef were Mitzar, their father Yaakov. And they were pagan in the covet of Yaakov. As a result, there was a chasar in Kibud Avein. Yosef himself, who was sold, the Rishonim say there was a little bit of a taina. They grapple, kama kumas in the shtabru, to explain that if Yosef's living in Mitzrayim all these years, he's the king, he can come and go as he wants. He knows his father's mourning him. So why didn't he go to his father and reveal himself and tell him that he was alive? And on some level, Chazal say there was a taina on Yosef. That Yosef was somewhat pagan in the covet of his father, he should have gone ahead and done that. The only one of the Shvatim that you never find had any issues in the area of Kibud Avein was Binyamin. That's why when Chazal were coming to teach us a lesson in Kibud Avein, and they had to pick a stone, which stone did they pick? Binyamin's stone. Because Binyamin, he is the epitome, he's the semel of how a person is supposed to honor his father and mother. What's the story of Dama Ben Asina? The story of Dama Ben Asina is that he has this stone. He doesn't sell it to the Yidden, and the next year Hashem pays him back. What did he pay him back with? He paid him back with a Parah Aduma. So in Ger, they say over from the Chedush Erim. In Kotsk, they say over from the Kotsk Rebbe. Rabbi Shmuel Reuven Grossman, who made a chasana last night, told me that in Alexander, they say it over from Rabbi Shraga Feivel Migritza, and the Baal Shoyal Meshev. This is in the Litvish Kreisen as well, in his Pirish, Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph, brings it from the Ktsoy Sachoshen. That why was it that Hashem rewarded Dama Ben Asina with the Parah Aduma? So they all said the same thing. They said that after Dama Ben Asina did this, and he walked away from so much money, not to be pagay in the covet of his father, there was a tremendous kitrig in Shemayim. The kitrig was that look at a guy, Dama Ben Asina, that oodle, he understands what Kibud Avein is, and look at the way the Jews honor their parents. And there was a tremendous, tremendous kitrig. Amalim HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to know what the Yidden are? I'm going to show you. Dama Ben Asina had tremendous respect for his father and his mother. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But at the end of the day, Kibud Avein is a mitzvah sichlis. It's something that people understand. The Yidden don't just do mitzvah sichlis. They even do mitzvahs that people don't understand. And therefore, the next year, Hashem sends Dama Ben Asina Daika. Goes right back to ground zero. Exactly where it all happened. A Parah Aduma, and the Yidden came and they offered all this money for the Parah Aduma. For a mitzvah that Zois Chukas HaTorah, that Shlomo HaMelech said, Amarti Ech Gema V'Hirachayk Mimeni. Even Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, couldn't understand. It made no sense to him. It's something that at first glance, to show that we don't just do things that we understand. We're willing to do things that we don't understand either. That's the second Ha'ara. I'm going to skip the Lamed Ha'ara. The third Ha'ara is, the Gemara brought a machloikis regarding Yisroi. Did Yisroi come before Matan Torah, or did Yisroi come after Matan Torah? Because one of the kashas that the Gemara asked on Shittas Rebbe Eliezer was that Yisroi comes and right away serving up karbonis. How could Yisroi serve up karbonis? Yisroi is a ger, meaning Yisroi previously had been an Eina Yehudi. If he's a non-Jew, his karbonis are going to be apostles. So the Gemara says Yisroi mi Yisrael zav, and you have to say that he bought it. But the Gemara first suggested that maybe it happened l'acha matan Torah. And if Yisroi came l'acha matan Torah, then Yisroi was, right, that was the shaila. Was it koyde matan Torah or was it l'acha matan Torah? Machloek is something. It's interesting. If you learn Chumash, you sit down with a Chumash and the Rishonim, Parshas Yisroi, you're going to see when Yisroi came. Did he come l'fnei Matan Torah or did he come l'acha Matan Torah? It's really a machloekis Rishonim. Evan Ezra says right away that even though the story of Vayishma Yisroi is before Matan Torah, But really, Yisrael came la'achaman Torah. Ein muktam u'me'ucha b'Torah. The Ramban argues. The Ramban says that no, it's written to say there that Yisrael really came before Man Torah. The Ibn Ezra brings many rayas from Sukkim to his position. The Ramban brings many rayas from Sukkim to his position. So it's interesting. When you learn Gemara, it's a Gemara here, it's a Gemara, and then the Masechta Zvachim, Machloik is in the Gemara. Did Yisrael come before Matan Torah? Or did Yisrael come la'acha Matan Torah? In the Chumash, it's a Machloik is Ibn Ezra and the Ramban. Ibn Ezra says that Yisrael came la'acha Matan Torah. The Ramban says that Yisrael came before Matan Torah. One of the kashas the Ramban asks is from the first Rashi in Parashas Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Fake Rashi, what did Yisrael hear? Mashmua Shama Uba. What did he hear that caused him to come? Kriyas Yamsuf u'Melchamas Amalek. Heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and he heard about Melchamas Amalek. Fake the Ramban, if Yisrael came la'acha Matan Torah, like the Ibn Ezra Tainas, then why did Rashi say he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard Melchamas Amalek, and he heard about Matan Torah? It doesn't say anything about Matan Torah. So it's mashma that he didn't know about it. Why? Because it was still before Matan Torah. Because that he heard about Matan Torah, Rashi would have mentioned it. Chazal say that everything that happened by Kriyas Yamsuf was it paled in comparison to what happened by Matan Torah. So how come he doesn't say anything about Matan Torah? Why was he saying Matan Torah? It says because he came before Matan Torah. So he couldn't have heard about Matan Torah. I saw the Chazam Sofer says something that only the Chazam Sofer could say to answer the Ramban's kasha. He says that maybe really Yisrael came la'acha Matan Torah, like Ibn Ezra says. If that's the case, then why does it say Mashmua Shama Uba Kriyas Yamsuf Muhammad Samalik? How come there's no mention? How come there's no mention of Matan Torah? So the Chacham Sofer says something unbelievable. He says that really Yisroi was thinking about coming right away. He was thinking about coming after Kriyas Yamsuf. He was thinking about coming after Muhammad Samalik. That was the Shmua that he was Shama Uba. That's what prompted him to come. But then he said to himself, well, I'm going to come join the Jews. Where do I have a shaykhis to join the Jewish nation? They're Kedoshim, they're Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. I don't feel like I'm worthy to be part of this nation. So the Chassam Sofer says he was a Megayer. He became a Ger Tzedek, but he stayed back home. He didn't feel that he was worthy of joining Klal Yisrael, joining the nation, because who am I to join? Then he didn't receive the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mechabal the Luchos. And 40 days later, there was the Chet HaEgel. After the Chet HaEgel, when the Yidden slipped up, Yisrael said, now I'm comfortable joining the Yidden. Because I realize that even though the Yidden are an Am Kaddish, but if they were able to come to the Chet HaEgel, now I'm already comfortable joining. So, and that's when Yisrael came. So you want to know when Yisrael came, he came La'acha Matan Torah. That's true, like Ibn Ezra says. But Chazal say, Mashmu, Shama, Bo, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechamas, because already after Kriyas Yamsuf, Mechamas, Amalek, he was holding by coming. He just felt, who am I? After the Chet HaEgel, he was comfortable coming, and that's when he eventually joined. Again, you have to be the Chassam Sofer to say something like that. And then finally, so we just learned for two blot, we learned about Shitas Rebbe Eliezer by Parah Aduma. Right? Shitas Rebbe Eliezer as it relates to Parah Aduma, this idea that you can't buy a Parah Aduma from a god. So I'm going to tell you something fascinating. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, which of course was written by Rebbe Eliezer, also known as Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, the Tanu Rebbe Eliezer in Shas, Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. The Radal, Rab David Luria, wrote a pirish on Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. Rab David Luria lived, just a little bit of history, he was born in 1798 and he was nifter in 1855. He was born in Russia. Before his bar mitzvah, his father sent him to Vilna to learn by Reb Shaul Katzenelbergen. He was already a prodigy at the time. He got married when he was 13 years old. This was old school. He stayed in Vilna for many years. His father was very wealthy. He was Torah v'gdula b'mokom echad. And he was from the Ga'oine, Ga'oine, Ga'oine ha-Ga'oine. It's unbelievable what a Ga'oine Olam he was. He had a tremendous hekif. He had a charifos, a koyach of pilpul, like the old Polish pilpul with a lot of kabbal. Either way, the Radal wrote a commentary. He wrote a pirish on Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. And he has a hakdama, a fascinating introduction to his pirish on Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. He starts off as follows. He starts off with a psikta in that you may have heard. Psikta says as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to accept the Torah, Shama Koyle Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'oisek BeParshas Parah Aduma. Here the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was learning. There was a Kol Torah. And he was learning Mesechtes Parah. Va'oimer, and he said, Halacha B'Shem Oimer. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Egla Bashnasa Upara Bashnai. Rebbe Eliezer was saying, how old does the Parah Aduma have to be? It has to be 2 years old. So Kaddish Baruch Hu is learning. He's learning a sugi in Parah Aduma, and he's saying over Torah from Rabbi Eliezer. Amal afan of Ribbono Shel Olam, Yehiratzen Sheyetzen Mechalotzai. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, halavai, that this Rabbi Eliezer should come from my offspring. Amal Esa, he told him, Chayecha Sheyetzen Mechalotzecha. That's what's going to happen. Shenema v'shem ha'echad, Eliezer. Who's shem ha'echad? It's referring to Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who came from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Shem Echad Gershon, v'shem Echad Eliezer. So this is a play on that. Shem Echad Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol is going to be a descendant of yours. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying a halacha, a mesach this par in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Moshe Rabbeinu wants Rabbi Eliezer to be from his offspring, and kachav, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. So listen to the Radal's observation. He says, "Be'emes nira, Rabbi Eliezer loy levad shehischa b'par tchilah." Not only did it start with mesachtes parah, elo bekula mesachtes parah shmeitzed Rabbi Eliezer b'puman yoyse mikol shayar tanah. The Radal says, if you go through mesachtes parah, you're going to see that Rabbi Eliezer is mentioned disproportionately. Va'af talmidei Rabbi Akiva, even the talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yoyse, Rab Shimon, avos ha'mishna, v'roshei ha'medaber b'chol mokom. These are the Tanakh that they're mentioned throughout the Mishnah. You always have Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yoyse, Rab Shimon. Right? These are the Tanakh that we have a shaychus to when we learned Daf Yomi. They were talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Kan b'parah devrei mu'atim neged divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Devrei mu'atim. You don't see that much of them kineged Rabbi Eliezer. Then he goes on. He makes a cheshbon that there's 21 times Rabbi Eliezer is mentioned in Masechtas Parah. Not just that, Rabbi Eliezer was always a machmer. Rabbi Eliezer was a talmid of Beishamai. Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. Rabbi Beishamai was always a machmer. He says only three times when you learn Masechtas Parah, Rabbi Eliezer is a meiko in 18 out of 21 times. It's three times he's a machmer. We just spent 2 days learning one of those three places. Rabbi Eliezer holds you cannot buy a guy, you cannot buy a par aduma from an Eivik Echavim. But the point is that Rabbi Eliezer is mentioned disproportionately in Masechtas Parah. Rabbi Eliezer was usually a machmer. Over here, suddenly he has a koyach tehetera. And the Radal was bringing out the godless Rabbi Eliezer. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so nispal. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono shel olam, yiratzen sheyetzen mechalotzai. And that's the v'shem ha'echad Eliezer that he was oichato. Because parah aduma is a marki echkem of hiru chaykem imani. It's something that even the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, that usually are bekula talmud, you don't find them so much in Masechtas Parah. And Masechtas Parah, you have a disproportionate amount of Rabbi Eliezer. You have a disproportionate amount of Rabbi Eliezer. Moshe Rabbeinu was so nispal. Moshe Rabbeinu said that this is what I want. And again, it's an arichus gedoyla. It's fascinating. I'll tell you one thing that he says here in this akdama that blew my mind. He says that Rabbi Eliezer was referred to as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. And he said, why was Rabbi Eliezer called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol? You know, it's interesting. Shimon HaTzadik. Right? We're all familiar with Shimon HaTzadik. Why was Shimon HaTzadik called Shimon HaTzadik? Because I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw this somewhere. That Shimon HaTzadik was not called Shimon HaTzadik while he was alive. It was something that came to him years later. Why? Because Shimon HaTzadik's sons, the Gemara tells in the end of Masechtas Menachos, they already got fachabt in some of the Hellenism that was going on at the time. That was the ruach of the influence of the Greeks. Shimon HaTzadik had a grandson whose name was Shimon. He was Kohen Gadol and he was a Rasha. So to differentiate between the Shimon that was a Rasha and the great Shimon, they called him Shimon HaTzadik. But his name wasn't Shimon HaTzadik at the time. It was because there were two Shimons. So one became Shimon HaTzadik and the other one was the Shimon that wasn't so good. Rabbi Eliezer, there's only one Rabbi Eliezer in Shas, Tainas the Radal. There's no other Rabbi Eliezer. You have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Oisho or B'Yosi Haglili. All the other ones are Rabbi Lazar. But the point is, there's one Stam Rabbi Eliezer. So why did the one Stam Rabbi Eliezer have to be called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol? If you're distinguishing between him and another Rabbi Eliezer, I get it. But there is no other Rabbi Eliezer. He is the only one. So he brings from the Vilna Gaon, who wrote on his Pirish to the Sefer HaHecholos. This is Kabbalah. He said that Rabbi Eliezer was a Gilgal of Reuven. Reuven, who was the Bechor of Yaakov Avinu. Being that he was the Gilgal of Reuven, and Reuven was the Gadol, he was the Bechor. That's what Rabbi Eliezer was called, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. Said the Vilna Gaon that this Gemara, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara that we learned together last week. The Gemara talks about how Rabbi Eliezer was nitfas laminos. The minim chapped him and they started interrogating and he was very disturbed and he refused to have nechama until Rabbi Akiva told him, Shema Ba Maisel Yotchi, told him a story that he once heard a pshat from a min and he liked the pshat and he realizes that this must be why this all happened. But Taina the Gaon, why? On a deeper level, did this happen to Rabbi Eliezer? He said, because Rabbi Eliezer was thrown into a pit when that story happened. That guy must have had that gersa. We don't have that gersa in our Gemara. He was thrown into a pit. And Reuven was the one who said, throw Yosef into the pit. So Reuven had to come back, be reincarnated through Reb Eliezer to be misakim the fact that he caused Yosef HaTzadik to be thrown into the bar, and that's why he himself gets caught up in a bar, so to speak, and that's the Tiefkeit in that Maisa in Avodah Zarah Tezayin Amud Beis, which by the way is mentioned in other places as well. It's also a Medrash Keheles, it's a Taisefta, it's in a few places, but the bottom line is that the reason that happened is because Reb Eliezer HaGadol, he's a Nitzutz Neshama, he's a Gilgal of Reuven. Reuven was the one that caused Yosef to be thrown into the pit. He has to now come back to be misakin that, and that's why he gets thrown into a pit. Says the Radal, something unbelievable. We all know the story of Yosef HaTzadik. We learned the Gemara together in Sanhedrin, Sheker Achim, Vehevel Ayoifi, Isha Yeres Hashem, Mitisalo, Yosef HaTzadik, Boyaz, Palti, Ben Layesh. There's a fascinating Avos D'Rab Nosson. It's in Avos D'Rab Nosson. It's Perek Tezayin. So the Avos D'Rab Nosson talks about the Maisa of Yosef HaTzadik, how he was able to overcome the Nisoyin of Eishes Tifa. Listen to this. It's almost a Medrash Pliya. Says the Avos D'Rab Nosson, Al Tatama Al Yosef HaTzadik, Shari Reb Tzadik HaYugadol Adar. Reb Tzadik was a Gadol Adar, and he also had an Nisoyin of Arayas, and he was able to overcome it, and his Nisoyin was even greater than Yosef HaTzadik's Nisoyin. The Al Tatama Reb Tzadik. You say, wow, how could Reb Tzadik have done that? Because I'll tell you even a better story. Rabbi Akiva once had an Nisoyin that was even greater than Reb Tzadik's Nisoyin, which was greater than Yosef HaTzadik's Nisoyin, and he was able to overcome it. The Medrash goes through and explains it in detail, goes through exactly what the story was. And finally, says Avos D'Rab Nosson, Al Tatam Rabbi Akiva, Shari Reb Eliezer HaGadol, had a story that was even Gadol, it was greater than Nisoyin than Rabbi Akiva's Nisoyin. It was greater than Tzadik's Nisayin. It was greater than Yosef HaTzadik's Nisayin with Eishes Patifar. And he was able to overcome it. The Avos D'Rab Nosson tells a story that he lived with a niece for 13 years and whatever it was. Bottom line is he was able to be Oyim V'Nisayin. Says Radal, why did Reb Eliezer, it seems like from this Avos D'Rab Nosson had the greatest Nisayin of all time. I mean, you always think of Yosef HaTzadik. Then we learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Boyaz and Palti Ben Layish. His was even greater. He have an Avos D'Rab Nosson that has a little bit of a different list, but it's Yosef HaTzadik, and then it's Reb Tzadik, and then it's Rabbi Akiva, and then finally it's Reb Eliezer HaGadol had the greatest Nisayin. So he says, Lefi the Goyin, that Reb Eliezer was a Gilgal of Reuven. Reuven, the pasuk says, Vayishkev Reuven as Bila. Now the Gemara says, Masech the Shabbos Nun Hey, that Koloimah Reuven Chata, En El Atay. Reuven's on the list of people that Koloimah Chata, En El Atay. But there's one Mandamah that's Chaylik over there. You know what that Mandamah is? It's Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer holds that Reuven was Chayte with Bila. Reuven was Chayte with Bila. Reb Eliezer had to now be misakin as being a Gilgal of the neshama of Reuven, that chet, the chet of Bila. So Reuven had kaviyochel, the chet of throwing Yosef into the bar. Reb Eliezer was misakin that when he was thrown into the bar with the minin, that interrogation that happened in Avodah Zarah Tezayin Amud Beis. Reuven had to be misakin the chet of Bila litamei, that he held that Reuven really was chayte on some level. The bottom line is, that's why he had to find himself in an Nisayin. He had to find himself in this unbelievable, phenomenal Nisayin, where he was posed with an issue of Arayas, he was Oymed bin Nisayin, and that's this Avos D'Rab Nosson, that the greatest Nisayin that anybody was ever Oymed on was Reb Eliezer HaGadol. I was thinking that when Reuven did the Maisa with Bila, there was also an element of Kibbut Avayim, right? There was an element. Yaakov tainted right away in the Birchas Yaakov. Pachas Kamayim Al Toysa, I'm taking away the Bechayr from you. See, Yaakov was very bothered by what happened. L'chur, there was a Ben Adam L'Makim component, and there was certainly a Ben Adam L'Chaveri component. Yaakov knew about it. So there was, without a question, there was a Ben Adam L'Chaveri component as well. It's interesting that we started today's daf. Shalus Reb Eliezer, Adheichon Kibbut Avayim, and there's different Mamorim and Kedushin and those sugis of Kibbut Avayim, the end of the first parak, that where Reb Eliezer is talking about how far a person needs to go for Kibbut Avayim, so maybe I'll this derech, Reb Eliezer had to be misakin that chet as well, and that's why it's Reb Eliezer who's going to the extreme in terms of being oymed on the Nisayin of Arayas. Reb Eliezer is going to the extreme. He's the one who said, Ad heichon Kibbut Avayim, to be misakin the pachas kamayim as well.